Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1814, the topic is training, and the title is Hamstring Growth Made Easy. One of my clients, she's a business client, which means that we meet every single week for a Zoom meeting, as well as giving her nutrition and training advice for her own progress. We also discuss business components, which is super fun. So I've been running Brutal Iron Gym now for 12 years, but I've been a personal trainer for over 20. Learned a lot of things, did a lot of things wrong, but then learned a lot of the right things, and have been making a great living, very blessed, getting to do what I love. So wonderful. I'm blessed and amazed, and it's always fun getting to help other people do the same thing. Do what they love, but make good money so that way they can support the family and support the life they want. It's really awesome. So very blessed, very lucky, and am excited on every time I get the chance to help somebody else do the same thing. In one of our recent Zooms, she was saying that she said the following. I really want like a super easy template for muscle growth. Like just do this, this, and this, and you're good. I love making workouts for my clients, but for my training, I'd like it to be more on the simpler side, but I like the idea of a template so I can still learn to plug in my own exercises or try new things I see on social media. So when we first started, I was actually writing her workouts, specific exercises, sets, reps, everything, just to get her, she hadn't been taking care of herself. We wanted to get her back on track, get her back to feeling like herself. So I was like, we have a million other things to focus on. Let me just crush the programming for you, then we'll come back at it. So now we've been coming back at the programming, a lot more learning elements, so that way she can learn how to play around with it and get better results for individual clients, which helps grow our business. So what we did was, prompted by that discussion, we made like a body part breakdown list. And one of the things that she likes to train the most are her hamstrings. She likes getting that separation between the glute and the hamstring and just the side profile, the way the hamstrings look. So that's a big area for her. So that's one I wanted to share today. The hamstring breakdown that we made. Like, how did we make hamstring growth easy? Exercise selection. Hinge at the knees. Hinge at the hips. Add anything extra. So that's the exercises. Now she trains her hamstrings twice a week. She's going to do something where she's bending at the knee to move the weight. You can think of a seated leg curl, lying leg curl, something like that. Then we have a hinge at the hips. So anything in which she's bending at the hips to work the hamstrings, which would be a stiff leg deadlift, Romanian deadlift, things like that. And then add anything extra is whatever she wants to add in. We want to just make sure that we have something bending at the knees, something bending at the hips, and then she can add in anything she sees off social media, an exercise that maybe she wants to better teach her clients, so therefore she wants to kind of deep dive into it and like remind herself of the nuances of how certain things feel. So it just gives her like this little bit of open space to be more creative, but we still have those first two elements to make sure we get those right. I typically like doing a bend at the knees before a bend at the hips, because if people's hamstrings are tight, when you go to a bend at the hips thing, like an RDL or stiff leg deadlift, you tend to get a lot of lower back pump, lower back annoyance. So if you do something at the knees first, like seated leg curl, lying leg curl, you can do a single leg, you can do a double leg, you can do them with 21 variations, pause the isometrics, like there's about 4 billion variations of those you can do. But you can think of just those two basic exercises, pretty easy, like visual to have in our mind, is lying leg curl, seated leg curl. That is a great way to kind of open up tight fibers of the hamstrings, get blood flow into the muscles, really get your hamstrings, kind of pumped and ready to go. And then when you go to hinging at the hips, like stiff leg deadlift, Romanian deadlift, you're going to get less lower back pump and more of the work is going to remain in the hamstrings. So I am a fan of knees first versus hips first on hamstring exercises. And then the add anything extra, she can literally add whatever she wants. We've even gone with weird variations of sled pulls and drags to work on the legs. These are certain stances you can do. Like if you're dragging a sled from your hips, and you're facing away from the sled, you take long heel strike steps. Like you strike your heel first and then drag your foot through the floor. Whew, that'll light your hamstrings and glutes up. So we do a lot of variations like cable kickbacks. You can do a glute kickback machine if she has one. Like the gym she goes to has this like donkey glute kickback machine, which is a really good one. But that's where she can add in anything she wants. Then what we have along with the exercise selection, we just have them listed as considerations to make sure that you mix these things up, make sure you account for these things. The first one we have listed is different positions. Just don't get too stuck with one thing. On a lot of IFBB Pro videos lately, you see a lot of people doing stiff leg deadlifts. Literally, it seems like every IFBB Pro is doing stiff leg deadlifts now. And they're doing them with like 585, like the guys are doing 585. And it's turning more into like a deadlift competition than a stiff leg deadlift for hamstring growth. But you'll see that something that is quite common right now. But again, we don't want to do like linear periodization for like 16 weeks of stiff leg deadlifts. There's no way you're going to make quality progressions from week to week without either sandbagging it at the beginning or risking unsafe technique at the end. So I have all my clients change their programs every 4 weeks for the most part. Some clients will change sooner. Some clients will wait a little bit longer if they're very new to lifting and they don't have confidence yet on a certain exercise. We might hang with it for a little bit. But in general, I like when people change their programming every 4 weeks. So when I say different positions, if she does 4 weeks of seated hamstring curls, I want her to do 4 weeks then of a lying hamstring curl. Or maybe her gym has a West Side Barbell reverse curl. That's pretty cool. Actually, her gym does have that. So an inverse curl is what it's called. We used to have one at the Brutal Iron Gym. But that's another like knee bend activity. Like you can think of a Nordic curl. There's Harop curls, which are actually bending at the hips. But there's a lot of variations of different knee bend type curls. So what I think when I'm saying the consideration of different positions is make sure you're not just endlessly repeating the same position, same position, same position. Then we want to think of bilateral versus unilateral. We want to make sure that, you know, every once in a while we're throwing in some unilateral stuff. Don't do like, you know, lying leg curls, both legs at the same time, into stiff leg deadlifts, both legs at the same time, and repeat that for 8, 12 weeks. Like get some unilateral stuff in there. So that way we can help work on more of the stability muscles around the joints, like the ankle, the knee, the hip. It helps with lower back health, helps with a lot of like more full, complete development, and then long-term strength progression. So we want to have considerations of different positions, considerations of bilateral versus unilateral. Then we also want to have consideration of rep ranges. To make it easier, we gave her a high range and a low range. For her, her low range is 20 to 30 seconds of time under tension. And we've talked about how she can go as low as 15 because we really want to maximize the weight load on the tissue. So we have gone as low as 15 in that low range. So 15 to 30 seconds. And then the high range, we consider anywhere between 30 to 60 seconds of time under tension. The reason why that kind of works out well for her is that the hamstrings grow well with heavy weight, they do. But we also want to have the higher repetitions, the higher time under tension to make sure that we get to the smaller little fibers and we get more filled out muscle groups. We don't just want the strongest fibers, which are the only ones that are kind of maximally stimulated under maximal short time under tension durations. We don't want just the strongest fibers getting the bulk of the growth. We want those small fibers getting involved as well. So we have to get those high time under tension exercises in. So I want her to mix that up, make sure she's accounting for both high and low rep ranges. And then the last consideration we have is that on week 4, I want her to add an intensity technique. This will help her push overload progression, like to get the muscles to continue to adapt, but remain safe. So our techniques that I gave her, you know, as of now, are rest, pause, drop sets, compounding supersets. So for example, say she's been progressing and she really wants to go for 60-pound dumbbells for stiff leg deadlifts. And the last week she did maybe 6 reps. She wants to see if she can get maybe 8 to 10 this week, but she doesn't want to tweak her lower back. So she can do rest pause. So she can do 6, rest, take 10 seconds to breathe, pick them right back up, and do 2 to 4 more reps. And then she'll do that on all like 2 or 3 working sets, however many working sets she decides to do. That's a great way to keep technique safe, but it still pushed our volume by getting those extra 2 to 4 reps on each of those working sets. So the idea of the intensity technique is to continue to push progressive overload, but remain safe. Drop set is another great technique where you can push volume, push progressive overload, but be safe. Compounding supersets, it's just you do 2 things back to back for the same muscle. Think about doing chest flies right into chest presses. That is going to pre-fatigue your chest for the chest press, but you still have the front delts, the triceps. You still have other pressing muscles that can help push the chest further and further and further into fatigue, even if it's already coming into that exercise pre-fatigued. So it's a pre-exhaust component is compounding supersets. But those are the intensity techniques that we have her using in this current structure. So that's an example of hamstring growth made easy. Pick an exercise that you bend at the knees. Pick an exercise you bend at the hips. Then pick a third exercise. It can be whatever you want. Make sure when you do new programming that you change up your positions. You make sure you mix in unilateral and bilateral movements. You want to make sure you mix up your rep ranges, higher time under tension of 30 to 60 seconds, lower time under tension of 15 to 30 seconds. However many reps you complete under that amount of time is totally fine. You know, if eight reps takes 15 seconds, then 8 reps is perfect. If you move quick and it takes you 20 reps and maybe you get 35 seconds, there you go. So 20 reps is your goal. Just whatever reps get you within that time frame. The low range, again, is 15 to 30 seconds. The high range is 30 to 60. So she's going to make sure she mixes those up. And then on the last week of your programs, add in some intensity techniques to push things a little bit, but remain safe. Rest, pause, drop sets, and compounding supersets are great choices. Okay, that's hamstring growth made easy. Hopefully that seemed easy. It's complex enough that you're going to get amazing, great results. But it's easy enough that you can kind of know what to choose for exercises and you have a little bit of freedom in how you kind of execute that. So that's exactly what she wanted. She wanted a template that would be simple, but still give her the opportunity to learn so she can plug in her own exercises and learn new components such as the intensity techniques. Okay. I thought that was fun to share. If you have any questions, if you want to hear anything else, like, you know, chest growth made easy, back growth made easy, whatever it might be, if you want another topic like this, just shoot me an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to do one. Okay. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. If you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube, under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.